Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Well, Ty Law is here. Wiggy is here, as always. And both of them had the absolute pleasure of playing with our next guest, who is now officially a Pro Football Hall of Famer, Adam Vinatieri. Adam, good morning.
Morning. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for being here. We were talking earlier. Wiggy was the beneficiary of your golden foot and then the victim of it when he was in Carolina.
Yeah, sometimes that happens. You know, you had a lot of people along the way say, man, you killed us. I said, you were on the wrong team or you cheering for the wrong team. So, you know what? Just depends on what side of the coin you're on, I guess.
Curtis brought this up, I think, with Ty earlier, but do you have a favorite kick? Are you out of all of them? Do you have a favorite?
Man, well, yeah, there's been a few that sit high on the list, obviously. The one that I'm the most proud of, obviously, is the one in the divisional playoff game, the Tuck Rule, the Snow Bowl, whatever you want to call it. That game, just with sheer difficulty, as much snow and everything on the line and, you know, down by three, you miss it, everybody's cleaning out their locker the next day. I think that's the one that I'm the most proud of, just because it's probably the most difficult kick of my career. But there's absolutely nothing like walking out on the field with a couple seconds left, and if you put it through the uprights, you're world champion. So, I mean, most memorable, most iconic, whatever, you know, you dream about that your entire life as a kid, you know, walking out there as a kicker, at least walking out onto the field and having a last second field goal, walk off field goal to win the championship. There's absolutely nothing like that. And then, you know, having deja vu a couple years later and having almost the identical situation, you know, there's absolutely nothing like that. So if I had to rank them all, probably those three would probably be my favorite three.
Seems like you held it together pretty well all weekend until you saw the video from your kids.
Yeah, that was a hard one for me. I putting my speech together over the last few months, you know, there was a lot of emotional things that I started thinking about with wife, kids, parents, family, you know, growing up, all the people, you know, and unfortunately you don't have you want to keep people on the edge of their seat, so you don't have enough time to thank everybody that you want to. That, you know, from when you started off in, you know, junior high school, all the way through, there's just so many people that touched your heart and were influential in your life, and you wish you could have more time, but so then you have to kind of pick and choose. But, you know, really, really going through the last couple of months and reflecting back on my career and who were so instrumental in my life, you know, then you start getting emotions and thinking about, you know, what could have been if things were different. So, yeah, this whole last week, I think I teared up more this last week than I probably did my entire life up until this point, you know. So, and then when, you know, when they handed me that iPod or that iPad, that was dirty on them. You know, we were having fun. We were doing interviews, and then they smashed me with something like that. And, you know, seeing your teammates and seeing the guys, you know, talk to you about and congratulate you, you know, that's, you got to smile. It starts tugging at your heart. And then when your kids say how proud they are to be your, you know, your son or your daughter and how much you mean to them and all that, like, I couldn't hold it back. I was like, man, you guys got me, and you videoed it, so I didn't know it was coming. So that was a double whammy for me, for sure.
Speaking of your speech, did you write the bill line yourself?
So my son and I, we were, you know, every single thing that was on there was he and I bouncing back and forth to each other. I'm like, what do you think of this? You know, well, ooh, that's a good one. And the irony of it is, well, and first and foremost, let me say this. Everybody's making a heck of a big deal over some of these roads. I love, if you got mentioned in my speech, you're very dear to me. There's no animosity. I know people want to start stuff. And I guess I gave you guys 2 days of good radio to talk about stuff.
Yeah.
There's no animosity. It was meant to be fun, and if you didn't like it, that means you don't have a sense of humor. So sorry for busting everybody's, you know, taking the wind out of everybody's sails, thinking there was big controversy. It was meant for fun. It was meant in good humor. Maybe some people didn't think it was funny or whatever, but I enjoyed doing that. Going back to your initial question, yeah, you know, all those jokes along the way over the last couple months, I just wanted to make my speech memorable, right? Like I literally spent hours and hours and hours watching old speeches and going, okay, like, and a lot of them are, they're great. And they all have the same message of thanking the people along the way and what football meant to you and all that. So I really tried to start it off thanking, you know, friends, family, organizations, the people that meant something to me. And I tried to finish it off with what football meant to me, because it was a part of my life, basically my entire life. So that was the emotional stuff that I had. And then I wanted to throw a little humor in there too. I wanted to have a little fun with it. Along the way, my wife had never heard the speeches, and she said, Adam, you cannot turn your Hall of Fame speech into a roast. And I go, yes, there's some jokes in it, but every joke that I said was on somebody that I admire, I respect, I love, and then hopefully I brought it all back around to let them know, yes, I throw a little stab out there, but it was just for humor. And all the people, if you got mentioned, I love you, you know, really. Yeah. I mean, that's really what it was. So if there's a lot of people out there that think that, oh my gosh, he's pissed, he's this, absolutely not. I was just having fun. And that's what we do. Ty, Wig, you guys know, in the locker room, that's all we do is bust balls, right?
That's what I tell everybody about Adam. He was always one of the guys. He wasn't just, you know, that's the Adam I like. So Adam, okay, you said all that. So like that Adam that was on the stage, that's the Adam that I know. You know what I mean? So that's the Adam that we want, you know, right now. And you said what was on your mind. I thought it was a great speech, and you was unapologetic about it, and I thought it was awesome. But that's the Adam that I like. You know, that's the Adam that we want to hear. You know what I mean? So I think you brought the house down, bro, man. We appreciate it. If anybody took offense to it, like you say, they don't got a sense of damn humor. You know what I mean? So you did your thing, bro.
All the older Hall of Famers that sit up on that stage, you know, sometimes you look at them and they feel like they're falling asleep. And I've had a couple of them like, hey, man, don't go too long and don't be boring. And I'm like, sit tight, buddies. I'm going to keep you on the edge of your chair. I think I saw Emmett just about roll out of his chair. He was laughing so hard on one of the jokes. So I just wanted to entertain guys. And you know, when we got backstage and it was you and Richard Seymour, you know, you came up and gave me a hug and we were talking, like that was really, like, when I got off the stage, I felt that euphoria like we just got done winning the Super Bowl. And it was so much fun. And I just, you know, I was just kind of thinking, man, let's have a good time with this, right? Let you give me 15 minutes with a live mic and the whole world watching. Hopefully I'm going to entertain people. And I know there's a people, you know, never look at your feed. There's some people that, oh, that was classless. We don't like it. Well, I guess the jokes weren't for you then, you know?
Right. But, you know, you said something to me before you went out, Adam, in the hall when we were talking, and I was telling you about the speech. Are you nervous? Adam was like, now you know how I feel when you got to go kick that field goal. So that's what he told me. He said, I said, so you know what? I get it. So everybody isn't built like that and cut like that. But most people are worried about the speech. But Adam was like, he was the most non-affected person that I ever seen leading up to the speech, because that is your moment to say it all. But he's been there time and time again, and that's why he is in the Hall of Fame, is because he is ice cold like that, and right. It didn't bother him, man. Right. So shout out to you, Adam, but you put a real twist and put it in perspective for me, bro.
Appreciate it, man. I aim to please, you know. Hopefully when we go out there, we kill it. And that was one, like, before the speech, when I was listening to Larry Fitzgerald, which he did, all the guys, they were all great. I mean, my class, I can't tell you how honored I am to be with those fellas. Being in the hall, now I've got 387 new teammates, and just walking around, it was like, oh my God, this is a legend. And then I got to shake another legend's hand. And the class that I went in with, I couldn't be more pleased. They're just all of them are wonderful human beings. You know, Roger Craig, you know, it was hearing his speech, you know, touched me, because I knew there was some things that he was dealing with. I didn't really know until I saw the speech. But he warms my heart every time I see him. Big smile, gives you hugs. I mean, like, and then the other guys too, you know, Drew and Keekly and Fitzgerald. Like, I'm so honored to be around. I got to spend 7 months hanging around these guys and working with them over the last 7 months. And man, I mean, they're the pros. I just felt so honored being up there with them. And hopefully I didn't take away from their speeches by being a little bit silly up there at times. But like I said, you know, that speech was from the heart. Like, everything that I said about family and friends and teammates and organizations and all that, like, that was all from the heart. If it would have just been like that the whole time, it would have been too sentimental. I'd have lost it early. I'm like, man, I got to make some people laugh so I can kind of clear a little bit of that tension and keep rolling.
Adam, what went into the decision to have Carly, or say Gordon, be your presenter for this big moment? And what did it mean to you that she gave Jim's tie to you to wear for that moment?
Yeah, you know, I can't say enough about her. You know, I obviously I've known her for a long time. She was, you know, when Jim was alive and running the team, she was, you know, all three of his daughters were involved, but they weren't front and center. And unfortunately we lost Jim this last year, and he, an incredible man. Like I said in my speech, just one of the most generous, great men that I've ever met. And I'm just very, very impressed the way she took control over the team the last couple of years, her and her two sisters, Casey and Kaylin as well. But Carly was the one that says, all right, you know, this role needs to be filled. I'm taking it. And she went in and she sits in the team meeting. She sits in the offense and defensive meeting. She takes notes. She wants them to learn football from the grassroots. Like, she's on the sideline with a headset on, wanting to be a part of it. She's involved in every decision that they make. And I was just like, you know what? In an all boys club, I say that, it's obviously not, but you know what I mean by, you know, NFL owners are, you know, it's kind of the big boy club, and to watch her step into that role and really take the reins and say, you know, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna keep this organization moving in the right direction. It was a very easy decision for me. What they've done for me and my family, you know, they're world class people, and it was. The more I thought about it as I went along, you know, a lot of times you think my dad, your son, your brother, and they were all would have been great choices as well. Teammates, you know, all, you know, there were so many people that could have done it, but it was absolutely the right choice. I couldn't have been more happy and pleased, and hope she enjoyed it as much as I did.
You could have had Wiggy do it, but it would have taken 5 hours.
I don't think I could have got him off stage.
Well, welcome to the club, brother. Hey. Welcome to the club.
Adam, we were talking about this yesterday, and obviously you've explained the jokes and all that. I was shocked and disappointed that Bill Belichick and Tom Brady weren't in Canton for you. How did you react to their absence?
Well, you know, everybody has a busy schedule. My list was a lot longer than that. There's other teammates that didn't make it, and I get it. You know, there's a lot going on. I did get messages from all those guys. I got a call from Mr. Kraft stuck on a tarmac, and he was clearly upset that he wasn't able to get his plane there in time, and so. You know, Coach Belichick reached out to me months ago, letting me know, hey, I'm sorry, I can't make it in, you know, camp's going on and all that. And Tom called me before, and hey, I got this family vacation that I've lined up months and months ago, and I just really can't get out of it. So, and you know what? First message that I got at, 7 o'clock in the morning after a 3 a.m. ending of a party, and I got a little red eyes, and everybody's tired, and you know what I mean, Ty. You know what I mean, right?
Yep. But, I was there.
First message I get was Brady, and he's like, "Man, that was awesome. You stole the show. It was really, really cool. I hope you have a hangover. Ha ha ha." You're right. So you know, again, bantering back and forth. So there's, like I said before, there's zero animosity. I love all those guys. I'm so excited to celebrate the 25-year reunion, October 8th game against the Raiders. How awesome is it going to be that's the game that we're all coming back for? And hopefully everybody can make it back this time, because it's all about love and laughter. And I'm looking forward to giving hugs to everybody and just being a part of a team and a championship that we all built together. And man, I hope everybody can come back for that one, because you know, I'm excited to see everybody. And you know, every time we get back, it just brings that brotherhood back. Like, listen, the people that I played with, the championships that I was a part of, that we won together, those guys are as much my brothers as my DNA brothers, right? I mean, I love you guys just the same. I bend over backwards. You guys call me and whatever you need, I'm there for you. So that's one of those things that, like, I'm so excited to go back and see everybody and hang out and just be able to BS with them and have a good time.
Ty is advocating for a golden boot of some kind at Gillette Stadium, perhaps near the Brady statue. Would you be open to that honor?
Absolutely. You know, that's probably that's better than my ugly ass face anyway. So, my foot's maybe, that might be the right thing to do.
and I think we need to get Adam into the Patriots Hall of Fame.
Yes.
You know, what's that thing that they do in Hollywood, the Hollywood Walk of Fame?
Yeah.
Tell Adam, go put his bare feet in there. Walk towards the
right.
You put his foot in there somewhere. Yeah. He
deserve it, man.
Right. Cause like I said, Adam, again, my resume looks a lot better from what you were able to accomplish at the end of those games, man. So, you know, I appreciate it. I want to thank you again personally,
right?
Because I would not be a 3-time Super Bowl champion without you being ice cold, brother. So, right. You know, and I think a lot of us, and I'm speaking for a lot of us that got championships, you know what I mean? You know, you deserve all the accolades that you're going to get, that you're receiving, and that you're going to continue to get. And I'm going to be there on the 18th, and hopefully I know a lot of the other guys are going to show up for you as well, man. We appreciate it.
There's a little bit of cap going on, because, Wiggy, you do take full credit for what happened in the snowball game.
Well, I mean, you know, I'd like to say this
let's be honest.
You know, that extra 7 yards, I mean, Adam might tell you that helped out a little bit.
Easy.
But all BS aside, and I'm kind of thinking about this, sit next to Ty, and I have the opportunity to sit next to him all the time, and I saw Adam briefly at the Super Bowl. I just want to congratulate you on a hell of a career, and you talk about brotherhood. And for me as a kid growing up in Eastie, I never had aspirations about playing in the NFL. But to be able to sit here and talk to Ty, talk to Adam Vinatieri, and say, like, these guys, I'm part of the brotherhood, And I know it has to be an unbelievable feeling, Adam, because I have it just by saying I'm playing in the NFL. You saw how I was when I got to sit next to John Riggins.
Yeah.
And what is that like for you, the levels to it? Because not only were you arguably one of the greatest kickers to ever play the game, you're a Super Bowl champ, and now you're a Hall of Famer. Like, there's a, like, the levels to the brotherhood. What does that feel like to be in that class, that small class of being like, wow, I'm actually in the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
Yeah, no, you nailed it exactly right. Like, some small town kid from South Dakota, I just wanted to try to make it to the league. And I was like, oh, this is great. I made it. Hopefully I can stay a couple of years and get a head start on life. And then the next thing you know, we're playing in Super Bowls and we're winning championships and few more contracts, and now all of a sudden you've been in for two decades, and now you're chasing Morton Anderson's record, and man, if I can stay healthy long enough, maybe I can get that one. And then all of a sudden that day comes, and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, maybe there is an opportunity at that point to have a bust in Canton, right? And you get that knock on the door, and all your crazy dream, your wildest dreams actually come true. And then you get to walk around these guys who I remember as a young kid. My first memories were Franco Harris and Lynn Swann and all of the, you know, Montana to Wright, you know, all the things that we remember as kids. Now, Wiggs, you might not remember because I'm quite a bit older than you guys, but in saying that, like, I remember some of the old names that I don't ever even remember them playing, but I know their names and I know their history, and then LT's over here, just being in the room. I think one of the coolest moments, there were so many, I can't even single out any of them, but we had the Ray Ninschke luncheon, and that was just for the Hall of Famers, right? They shut the doors, they bring in the food, and then the servers leave, and it's just the guys that are there, and they start telling stories, and they start talking about stuff, and I'm sitting here thinking, my God, I'm in the room with greatness, right? Like every one of these dudes I'm looking at, and I'm like, I can't believe that I'm part of this group, right? And it's just, it's wild, right? And then all of a sudden they come up and they say, welcome to the brotherhood, welcome to the family. Like, you're part of this. There's there's a lot of teasing back and forth, right? It's a locker room, basically. Guys are giving each other some guff back and forth. But the magnitude of respect for each other, and then when you can just sit there and go, I made it in here, I earned a spot in this, like, it blows you away. It really does. And then walking through the gauntlet at the gold jacket ceremony, and each one of the guys are giving you a hug, and you know, it, there were so many moments that, like, I can't even tell you. Each moment was like feeling like that moment right after we got done winning the Super Bowl and the confetti's falling on you, right? And
it's awesome.
It's incredible. It's hard to put into words. It's hard to describe the feelings that I had. All I know is Sunday when I'm flying home, I'm like, I've never been on an emotional roller coaster like this, and I've never been so. Now they pimp you out to a lot of stuff, so physically you're tired, but mentally and emotionally you're just absolutely drained. But in a great way, you just have a permanent smile on your face. You just reminisce and you think about the last 24 years of your career, or maybe the 38 years that I actually played from when I was a young kid, and you just go, I never knew playing a kid's sport would allow all of this in my life, you know? So that was just, it was just wild. It's hard to even describe. My kids walk into the party and they're crying, right? And I'm like, you all right? And they're like, Dad, I just didn't understand. Like, I knew, but I didn't know, right? And they just, and my youngest kid, like, I kind of had to, you know, give him a hug, give him some moment. And then I almost had to say, all right, now it's time to man up a little bit. We can't keep doing this, right? Like, enough is enough. I mean, I cried a bunch too, so I get it, right? But but just to be able to walk around with all these people, and it's crazy, man. It's crazy.
It's incredibly well-deserved. We appreciate you taking the time. Before you go, you're going to be around here on Friday for a charity golf tournament that you host. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Yep. It's called the Clays for Charity event. It's down at the Preserve in Rhode Island, at Boulder Hills in Rhode Island, Ty and all you fellas and Wiggs and any other player, man, come on in and let's get a team together. It's a great event. We raise a bunch of money for a bunch of different charities. You know, Tunnel to Towers. There's a few other ones too that we give back money to a bunch of the veterans and stuff like that. It's a great event. This is the fourth annual one that we've done. It's just getting bigger and better every year. And I'm telling you, if you haven't been at this place, anybody that are listening to this, you've got to come and check it out. Like this, the Preserve at Boulder Hills is the most incredible place I've ever been around. We're going to have a ton of fun and sign up. There's still, I think, the website, I think, is what?
ClaysForCharity.com. Clays4, the number 4, charity.com.
So. Yeah, please, anybody and everybody that you have time off this weekend and you want to come shoot some clays, if you enjoyed it, you don't even have to shoot. You can just come out and enjoy the festivities and stuff. More the merrier. We're trying to raise as much money for a bunch of charities. And, yeah, come on, have a good time.
Adam,
maybe I'll have a couple more jokes for you. Who knows?
Adam, thanks so much for taking the time with us, and congratulations. And thanks for everything you gave to this region. You'll never be forgotten. So we appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
All right. Thank
you.
All right, brother.
All right. Thank you for having me on, fellas.
Las
Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule, automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us, in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT, you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety. Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Oh, it is 93.7 WEEI. Rich certainly, Ken Laird, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson. And joining us right now, your interim manager of the Boston Red Sox, Mr. Chad Tracy. And he's brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, the official supermarket of the Red Sox Radio Network, by Arbella, Here for Baseball Fans, Here for Good, and by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow
Chad, obviously this is a weird slump that the team seems to be going through. What has bothered you the most during these four losses from what you've seen?
Afternoon, guys. I wouldn't say anything bothers me other than just the losses themselves. That's all. Like, you know, obviously we're playing very well and we're going through a little spell right here. And, you know, different things have popped up that are not the exact brand of baseball we have been playing for the last 6 or 7 weeks. But you just got to fight through it. It's part of it. You got to fight through it and find a way out on the other side.
Chad, I heard Jim Rice on Ness in the postgame last night evaluating some of the swings, and he described it as sort of overswinging, a lot of uppercuts. When you, I know it's a small sample size, but just over this four-game stretch where the clutch hitting has not gone away, do you see any of that with what Jim is observing, sort of almost a trying too hard approach?
It's usually the case when you go through a stretch like we are, and you know, if the crazy thing is we've had a chance to win all these games, but like you're struggling to push runs across the way we were before, and you see some of the runners in the scoring position numbers. Human nature is like these guys care so much, they want to get it done, that sometimes you try a little harder. And when we get back to the place where we get a big hit or two and everybody takes a deep breath, it'll work itself out. But yeah, it's probably not wrong in some respects, you know, that observation.
Can I ask you something, just backtracking a couple nights? How did none of the players know that there was only one out in the seventh Monday night? And it wasn't just you guys, it was Toronto as well.
Yeah.
Like when you were on the field, like how did nobody know what the amount of outs were?
I think it was a culmination of a handful of things. The play prior to the one that you're talking about, mm-hmm. was a weird play too. It was a line drive hit to Vladdy's backhand that was like barely picked out of the dirt, and Wong had stopped thinking, did he catch it? And I'm doubled off, and then he ended up throwing to second anyways. So between that play there, which we should still know the outs. There's no excuse, you know. But I think for both teams, like it was just one of those moments where, you know, something happens that kind of messes with your brain. You're like, did he catch that? Was that a double play? Why did Wong stop? And that play, and then combined with the next one, you saw everybody react when the ball was caught and some of the defense started walking off the field and our guys were running, and there was a lot of confusion as to what was going on there.
Chad, with the new lineup construction with Rutschman in there, how will that evolve over the last month and a half? And for instance, do you need a leadoff hitter sort of locked in by the postseason? Are you going to experiment a little bit with things?
I think it depends like what, you know, how we're going. I think right now when you look at it, as we were looking at that, like how well Massa has swung the bat over this stretch, mm-hmm. that if you fire him in the leadoff spot and his ability to take walks and get on base and drive the ball, that, it stacks quite a few good hitters up there at the top of the lineup. And then, you know, with the Sogie or Siegler combo with how we're constructed right now, and the nine hole, both of whom can put the ball in play and get on base and flip the lineup in the nine hole and get it flipped back to the top. It looks on paper at least like a really good construction. And with our roster the way it is right now, I don't see it changing much, particularly against right-handed pitching. You know, when there's a lefty in there, you might want to get Eli involved and Jam involved. But against right-handed pitching, it seems like the most logical thing to do.
We're talking to Chad Tracy. And Chad, Wilson Contreras plays as hard as anybody in your clubhouse. All season he's been doing that. And that's why last week doesn't really add up to me. There was the play where he didn't run one out, and the stuff that Sean McAdam reported about Wilson angrily refusing to speak with the media. I'm not trying to bury him. I just want to know if he's all right.
Oh, no, he's okay. I just think there's a lot going on with him, you guys. Like, I mean, you got to keep in mind, you know, a couple of weeks ago, you know, 2-3 weeks ago, whatever it was, he slams the ball off his foot. You know, so he gets through that. He gets hit in the head in L.A. He gets through that, has to take a couple days. Then he gets sick. And in the midst of some of the stuff that, you know, came out about, oh, Wilson doesn't want, it's like this guy, at the end of some of those games, I'm pretty sure all he wanted to do was take a shower and go home and get in bed. He came back to us for those last two games and played. But certainly coming off of what he was coming off of was not necessarily at 100% physically. He's gone through a lot, bumps, bruises, the guy posts, he plays, you know, and if he's banged up. So I think I'm glad you let it off the way you did that. You know, I don't know if you can make a case for anybody that plays as hard as the game as he does. And I even mentioned to the media that, you know, he's banged up in a lot of different areas where he had given myself and Flo a heads up prior to that game that, hey, like, I may not have the normal, you know, where he gets into complete overdrive rounding first base mm-hmm. on a routine hit, or he's like, I may need to back off that a little bit, at least for right now. Like, when, so we know, and then the boos rain down, I'm sure, you know, as hard as he plays, that, you know, that's something when you look at and say, well, they don't have all the information. So I don't blame anybody. I get why people are asking, but he's grinding through and has gone through a lot over the last handful of weeks.
Okay, so I'm sorry. So he told you before the game that he might not have it.
We know before the game if there's, you know, if he's in a spot where he's grinding through some stuff, especially in that case where he had been sick, you know, he's banged up, that he had let us know, like, hey, just so you know, like, if you don't see my normal, you know, I'm busting down the line. He's like, I'm just trying to play it smart, you know. So those are things that these are, again, cases of things that are awareness in the locker room, you know, and not everybody needs to know all that stuff, but our awareness in the locker room of things going on is much higher than other people have. That's why we don't blame anybody for reactions. But, like, no, I think right now our main goal is to get Wilson feeling good and get him swinging the bat the way he's capable. And when he does and he goes on one of those benders, we can go again.
Hey, Chad, a trend that was kind of revealed itself before the winning streak to start the season was kind of just leaving guys on base stranded, and it seems to be mm-hmm. Kind of, you know, rear its ugly head again in this four-game stretch. What are you seeing with guys' approach at the plate that maybe explains that happening again?
Actually, to be honest with you, like, the approach part overall, like, just holistically is pretty good. Like, you know, what we did last night against Dylan Cease was really good. You know, we swung at strikes, we took balls, we drove them deep in the count, we hit two home runs, we hit a sac fly for another run. When you get three runs off of maybe the AL Cy Young candidate, you know, potential Cy Young leader, and you get him out of the game by the fifth inning, like, that's a job well done. We didn't do as well against the bullpen, obviously. So just overall approach, like, we're getting a ton, like, there's two ways of looking at, oh, they're three for whatever their last 34, with runners in scoring position. I'm like, well, at least we got 34 at bats with runners in scoring position. So, like, there's obviously the first part's going well. Mm-hmm. And the second part of it is when we get them out there, if we turn that into a 7 or 8 for 34, it might have equated to a couple more wins. So, we have to keep getting the runners on. We have to keep our approach and what got us here, which we started making better swing decisions. That's continued. We have to keep doing that. And it's just a matter of, you know, one or two big hits that turn some of these close games into 3 or 4 run leads.
Hey, Chad, how optimistic are you that Curtis Meade could be healthy and contribute for you guys down the stretch?
That's a good question. Hard to say right now. I mean, he's still in, like, some type of cast brace on his hand. So I think that's going to be easier to answer once he gets that off or gets follow-up imaging. And once that occurs and you kind of see where's the healing at, and can he come out of the cast, does he have to put it back on, like, that'll be easier to answer once that happens.
We got some good news from you yesterday, though, on Roman Anthony. Can you kind of tell us where he's at? And because he seemed to go from 0 to 60 on not being able to hold a bat, and all of a sudden he's hitting fastballs now, is that right?
Yeah, he's been doing, he's graduated from, he was basically doing tee and flips to start just to get moving. He graduated from that to the hack attack machine for velocity, and foam balls, right? And then now he's hitting off of the traject machine, which is basically as live as you can get, without actually facing a pitcher. So he's made really good progress. He's going to be doing that, you know, obviously his full routine leading up to hitting live at bats off a traject machine, for right now. See and make sure how that hand feels, and then we'll kind of reassess as we get into this weekend and early next week and see where we're at. But he has made quick progress here in the last, you know, 10 days or so.
I'm an idiot when it comes to, like, are those with real baseballs? Because you mentioned he was using foam balls before. The traject machine, is that baseballs? And if so, how
fast
are
these pitches? Yeah, there's baseball work in there too. It's just sometimes when you're going to take a high volume of swings, foam balls lessens the load. Okay. But he's been hitting real baseballs as well, a combination of all those things. And if you're going to hit off a traject machine, if you guys don't know what it is, it's basically a live, it's a video screen with a live pitcher. That ball's coming out of there 95. So a lot of times there's, like, baseball, foam type balls, and that's mainly for because you're hitting off live that, you know, if you foul one off your shin or your ankle, mm-hmm. that's why you use foam balls in that machine, because now you're facing a slider and stuff like that. We don't want to create another injury. So that's why I usually use foam balls in that machine.
A foam ball can go 95 miles an hour, huh?
Well, it's like I'd say maybe it's not a foam. Maybe it's like a soft baseball. Okay. Maybe that's a better term. Yeah. I don't know how to properly say it. But
there's weight to it.
You know, if you happen to come around one and hit it off your foot, it's going to hurt a lot less than if you hit a real baseball.
All right. Fair enough. Hey, Chad, with about 43 games left in this season, What do you think, what are some areas that you can improve on? Is there anything that keeping you up at night? Like, what do you want to see maybe in these last 43 games that you haven't seen?
That's a good question. I mean, I think you guys see it. Like, you know, I think it was very obvious for 7 weeks or whatever it was, the brand of baseball we played. And it's pretty obvious in these last 4 days. You know, we have been a touch sloppier on defense. Like, that's one. We've made a couple of base running miscues. That's one. We're still doing really well as far as approach and getting base runners, but the clutch hitting and that one tends to come on its own. And when it does, it tends to turn pretty quickly. But you know, there has been in this course of these four games, little things that we do so very well and have all year, which is we're a very good defensive team. We're a good base running team. And when you're not quite hitting the way you want to, it's important that those things are clean, because you can still win close ball games if those things are clean. So I'd like to see us get back on the horse of that. I think we will, you know, and as a group we'll grind through it. But those are a couple areas.
All right, Chad Tracy, I didn't want to address this, but I think it's our job as journalists to say this. There was an extremely credible post on social media that went viral, posted by a gentleman whose name I believe is CyberBob420, and he said, I guarantee the Red Sox have some MIT grad working for them in a back room that cracked the code on intercepting the radio frequency of PitchCom and has the access to keys to decipher each pitch. I legitimately don't remember a single Boston hitter chasing a breaking ball the whole series. I'm going to comb through the StatCast data on O swing percentage, barrel percentage, etc. from start of the streak compared to prior to the streak. I'm fairly certain there's going to be some crazy differences. So, Chad
did comment. We need the answers on this.
Cyber Bob, man. Very credible. How about now, Cyber Bob? I guess we're still doing it right now, right, in this four-game stretch?
Well, the theory is that the MIT guy got left at the border and wasn't able to go into Canada, so he didn't get to pull off his stuff.
There's always an extra theory when the theory no longer works out. You know, no, I think it's pretty obvious. I just talked about, you asked me the question, what could we improve? I said one of the things we've done really well is make really, you know, it was a point of emphasis with our group about swing decisions. And, you know, a lot of it was, hey, we don't have to swing. You know, there are certain counts, even if it's a strike, we don't have to swing. Like, choose the right one. That's why that turn. And that's, you know, the reason, you know, you don't see, well, because we have really good contact oriented hitters that understand the zone. And when we're doing well, we're not swinging at balls. So, that's where I'll leave that. That's Cyber Bob. I think Cyber Bob is missing there.
Awesome. Well, I mean, it's got to be so great that at a point your team is hitting so well that people are trying to figure out theories that involve somebody like hacking into NORAD and like it's some cracking some sort of code like an MIT guy. That's got to feel nice.
Yeah, I think I will say we like there was some people that saw it. It gave us a laugh. You know, like my goodness, like. And I think probably just because of the drastic turn, you know, it had been so different before, and now it was the way it was. So people just automatically try to figure all that out. It's like, no, just we had some players that weren't right, and they're right now, and they're doing the right thing. So give Cyber Bob a lot of credit for his theory, though, I guess. I know.
Sounds good, Chad. All right. Well, listen, we hope things turn around and go back in the other direction. Obviously, this team seems to have it in them, and we appreciate you coming on with us, Chad, as always.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Chad. Chad is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, the official supermarket of the Red Sox Radio Network, by Arbella, here for baseball fans, here for good, and by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Raleigh Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Raleigh Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule, automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
The GLP-1 pill you've been waiting for is now on Row. Yep, it's finally here. With the same clinically proven ingredient, now in a pill, and now on Row. It's the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. At the lowest price available, that's one daily GLP-1 pill for big results. Now on Row. Go to ro.co/listen to see if you qualify. Rx only. Go to ro.co/safety for serious side effects and boxed warning associated with GLP-1s.
The Red Sox front office report this week brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, official supermarket of the Red Sox radio network, by findmassmoney.gov, and by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. And it is the president of the Boston Red Sox, Sam Kennedy, who joins us this morning. Hey, Sam.
Hey, Craig. Good morning.
Sam, I've been on a roller coaster of emotions.
Join the club.
Last 6 weeks, I need some kind of an emotional support parrot or something. I'm up. I've never been higher. Wiggy's been higher, but I've never been higher. And then I get low a little bit. I'm sure you're feeling the same way here.
It's understandable. I was wondering if there was some type of conspiracy against me. Somehow Brez gets to come on all June and July. You know, we're 32-5 or whatever, and he gets to do those WEI interviews, and I get to come on after a 5-game losing streak. I guess that's what I'm here for, as everybody knows.
Sam, what do you make of the addition and sort of the delayed gratification of the Tracy hire? We haven't talked to you, or at least I haven't had the privilege of talking to you since that run. What has been the difference maker in what you've seen from Chad Tracy and how he has managed this ball club?
Well, he's been extraordinary, just his steadiness and the calm demeanor that he brings, and his communication skills are extraordinary. But really what stands out to me is, you know, we ownership, front office, put him in one of the most difficult situations I think someone could ever be put into, really, in terms of leading a clubhouse. It was a brutal set of circumstances. And that first morning in Baltimore through last night, he's just been the same guy. And he's really done an extraordinary job, and we're grateful to him and the coaches, because we just, you know, it was really hard on everybody, and he has been he's been just the definition of leadership.
Sam, during the stretch of wins, did it ever did you guys ever consider dropping the interim tag for him, and what would it take to do that before the end of the season?
Yeah, I think you know, that'll be discussed between him and Brez at the appropriate time. But you know, he's, again, it's just obvious to everybody what a great job he's done. So I know him and Brez will talk about that at the right time. And truly, he and the front office are focused on the task at hand. So that'll get addressed, and we'll go from there. But yeah, I mean, it's obviously on everybody's mind. And let's be honest, it's really important that we have that settled at some point here. So that conversation will happen between those two guys at some point here soon, I think.
Sam, one of the big components that struck me during that run was the Fenway just home field advantage. It really felt back in the glory days, like it was the fans at times almost willing the team to come back wins, and it was really I think, from, I would be curious your perspective as to how you witnessed that run, the 125-year history of the franchise, never anything like it, and what the fan base did to encourage it.
It's incredible, Chris. You're right. I actually think it's gotten better, if that's possible. Maybe I'm just appreciating things with age here, but as bad and painful and angry and toxic and ugly as things were the first 3 months of the season, for obvious reasons, with really unhappy fans and unhappy members of the front office, everything, members of the media, it's I've never seen something turn around and it turn around in a way that was just incredible to see a more intense fan base, and, you know, every last seat, you know, jam packed with fans going crazy. And to your point, willing this team to come back. We hadn't had a comeback victory, you know, all year, and we weren't scoring any runs. And you heard a lot of the players talk about it, whether it was Willier or Jaron, Sagler, these guys, Contreras. I mean, they love playing here, and they don't take it for granted. But if it's possible, I think things have gotten more intense. Maybe it's probably the world we live in with social media and attention, but it's just an incredible atmosphere. And the extremes are, you have to stay calm and steady like our manager, because the extremes are you know, are real.
Sam, we haven't spoken to you since the deadline, so I wanted to get your perspective on those who saw the Marcelo Meyer trade as indicative of a philosophical pivot, strategy-wise, organizationally. Is that accurate? You know, if you look at this team, talking about the big three and the prospects, and then kind of being willing to move off of one, have you internally pivoted a little bit organizationally?
Well, I don't think there's an organizational pivot, but, you know, moving on from Marcelo was tough, really difficult. He's a great young guy and a really talented player. I think he was the fourth pick overall and had a ton of pressure on him. And, you know, my hope for him is that the move out there to California will be a good one. I've known his agent for a long time. He's a good friend of mine from the old San Diego days. And I just think he's going to be fine. We've seen something unusual at this trade deadline, which is more just baseball trades for needs. And, you know, we had a real need to strengthen the back end of the bullpen, and getting a quality left-handed arm at this time of the year is really important. So it trades like that hurt, and they should, because you're giving up something really good to get something really good. So that, you know, and that happened with the Meade deal as well. And so it just, it's good to see Brez be so decisive and aggressive and bold in terms of addressing needs.
When you look at this five-game skid that you guys are in right now, is there a weakness that has exposed itself to you for a reason why you guys have hit this point, or is it just baseball?
I mean, if I could explain what's happened this year, I would. I'd try to. I can't. I can't. It's baseball, Courtney. The last five games, like, all of a sudden, you know, you're emotional and feeling it again, and you get a little PTSD. But if you look sort of objectively, I think you have to check me on this. We had the tying or winning run come to the plate in the ninth in all five losses. Yep. So I don't know if that's luck from the streak coming back to hurt us or what. Here's what I know. After 162 games, like, you are who you are. So, and this is what makes this streak crazy. I mean, historic streak, but I don't know. We're 10 games back in the division. Like, it's crazy. So we may be in a playoff spot, but we're not where we want to be. You know, that those wild card short series are tough. And so coming out of spring training, you know, my mindset, I know all of our mindset was like, let's win the division and set ourselves up for a deep postseason run. So that, you know, I know that seems like a little bit of a stretch right now, being 10 games back in the division, but why not? I mean, look what happened in July. So it's really hard to predict what's going to happen or diagnose it. That's what makes baseball so great. But we as Chad said last night, we got to grind through it. Let's get a win today, and then head on to Pittsburgh and try and get back on track.
What is your expectation currently on when Roman Anthony will be up here?
If you ever hear me talk about a player injury timeline on your station,
ever again,
just hang up the phone.
I mean, it didn't go that well last time. Yeah, I understand.
Fool me once. I mean, come on.
All right.
Let me try.
Roman, listen. Roman is making progress. We've all been in touch with him. It's the great thing about modern communication. We text, we call. He's making progress, but you're not going to get me or anybody else to put a timeline on it. And we're just very, very hopeful that we can get him back, because, man, we need him.
Let me try a different one here. You guys are in the franchise owning business. With the news that the Lakers are going to sell for $12.5 billion, what does that make the Boston Red Sox worth?
You know, it doesn't matter, and I mean that sincerely. It just doesn't matter. John Henry, Linda Henry, Henry family are never selling the Boston Red Sox. So, and that's a soundbite you can play forevermore. I'd bet anything on that. So it really doesn't matter. It is a reflection of how important sports are in our society. It's sort of the last thing that, you know, brings communities together is professional sports, and we love it, and we're all lucky to be a part of it, but we don't focus on that.
The Yankees took $1.2 billion in PE investment. Is that something?
$2.8 billion.
Is that something you guys would think about?
Inside of Fenway Sports Group, we have 25, 30 investors of all types, all different types, but John and Linda Henry, Tom Werner, Mike Gordon are the investors and owners of the club that run the club. And so that has been consistent for 25 years, and I would bet for the next 25 years, that will be at least 25 years, if not longer, that will continue. So not something we're focused on, just focused on trying to figure out how we're going to get back on track this week.
Sam, something we've talked about, and we haven't had you on, you know, Breslow dominated the winning streak. I think he boxed you out, as you alluded to.
By the way, he deserves to.
The big picture question I have, and we discussed the remarkable return of the Passion at Fenway Park, where it's sold out in a hot August day in the 13th inning. People are still 35,000 there screaming for a walk-off win. Why would the Boston Red Sox give up the advantage of financial revenue and in the manner in which the teams here for generations have supported the team to get a cap on spending in a collective bargaining agreement? Why should Red Sox fans, in a big picture, not saying it's happening today or tomorrow, but why should fans of this team want there to be a cap on what teams can spend on their payroll?
Look, what I'll say about labor negotiations and the financial sort of underpinning of the industry and how it all works is that the Red Sox and what's good for Red Sox fans and the Red Sox is that Major League Baseball is healthy, and the Red Sox continue to be an elite premier franchise. And so while I can't talk about bargaining or labor relations, I think it is our fans can rest easy that the Red Sox support Major League Baseball and our commissioner, and any discussions regarding the collective bargaining agreement are handled by exactly one person, and it's the commissioner. And we're all supportive of him. I think baseball is really having a moment and well positioned for a lot of reasons. I mean, the players of today are just incredible. I think the rule changes that were implemented a few years ago and new innovations continuing to come along like ABS have just put the game in a great spot. And so it's our responsibility to work together with the players and keep that going.
Sam, we need another Tracy turnaround this afternoon.
I agree. Let's go. 3:07 this afternoon.
All right. 3:07. That is Sam Kennedy. Thank you, Sam. Sam Kennedy, the president of the... Oh, hey, Sam.
Yes.
Monday, Tuesday, we will be there, and I'm sure you will be there for the WEEI Nesson Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon.
Oh, yeah, we'll be there. And thank you guys for your commitment to that. Best 2 days of the year. Thanks for doing that.
Okay. We will.
All right, Mego, you hear that music. You know what time it is. It is for Rob Bradford, WEEI, and Baseball Isn't Boring. He's brought to you by McFarland Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on at McFarlandEnergy.com. Bradfo, what's up?
Let's talk about the fourth out rule. Let's go. No, I don't want to talk about the fourth out rule. No.
I got to be honest. That's so yesterday's news, Bradfo.
So I know. That's late. Why I don't want to talk about it. Like, I'm so exhausted by it.
You sound like a Wilson Contreras. I don't care if the fans boo me. I don't care. I'm just bringing it up.
Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about what, Bradfo?
I'm sorry?
You broke up there for a second. Let's talk about what?
Oh, no, I said let's talk about it for an hour, even though I don't want to talk about it. But, hey, McFarland to you all, always a pleasure. Mego, it's such a good time always talking with you, so I appreciate it. Adam, always a good time talking with you. I miss Rich. It's just a great time to be alive. Thank you for having me on.
Okay.
Wow.
How concerned should we be about this five-game losing streak? Because I understand teams lose in baseball. What they did over the last month plus is very atypical. I get that. But they're also playing like garbage, I'd say, in these last four specifically of the five-game losing streak. How concerned should we be?
Yeah, I think you should be a little concerned. And because the way that they're losing is the exact same way that they lost before, which is, you know, you have decent pitching, but then you don't hit. You don't hit home runs. You don't hit with runners in scoring position. like, and really you play some, you play bad baseball. So I think all of it was reminiscent of what it was before. And I'm, as always with baseball, sort of the truth lies somewhere in the middle. But at the same time, it's like, okay, you know what? It's a wake up call that you, there's a reason why you did need Curtis Meade. There is a reason why you did need bats. There is a reason why that you just couldn't keep rolling out the same guys and expect to win, you know, 30 of 37. No, you can't do that. That's not how baseball works. And they're getting that wake up call right now. And what makes it more difficult is that you don't have guys. Garrett Whitlock is a huge deal. They're not having him. Having a banged up, having an unproductive Wilson Contreras, even though he hit a home run, that's a huge deal. Like, this is the reality of a baseball season, and it was never going to be like it was for that month and a half. So, yeah, it is. It should be a wake-up call for them.
Bradfo, has Wilson Contreras ever cussed you out after a game, and what's going on with him right now?
No, he is not. I know of what Sean was writing about and speaking of. And
what?
And, yeah, what was it?
Well, I think after the Dodgers game, he was they actually won that game, the last game. He was a little – I wasn't there because, you know, I love to take the red-eye flights home, jump the gun a little bit. Who doesn't? But from what I understand, he was surly and sort of, I'm not talking, and along those lines of I don't know what cuss words were used or whatever it was, but it was that tone. And I get that. And I there's been other times where he's taken a long time to come out to when the media maybe is one of them. But I think overall, this is just my perspective, is that I don't think it's a big deal because, like, I think you can go down a list of incidents where he has stood up and he has addressed it and he has talked about it. And a lot of times, by the way, a very pointed and surly and entertaining way and very intense way. But I would not say that was a big deal, or I would not represent him as a part of the problem, to say that.
Yeah, Rob, I have said that I really like Wilson Contreras, and I like that he has an edge to him. Do you feel that whatever he talked about with his leg yesterday after the game is going to hamper his ability to help power some of this offense that has been slumping over this five-game losing streak?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any question about it, Mago, that the guy that you have had over the last couple of weeks is not the same version of the guy you had. I mean, production-wise, obviously, stats-wise, obviously, but there is documented proof that this guy has been banged up a lot, starting with the concussion thing and then going from there and the leg thing, whatever. Like, we can go down a long list of things, and this is a baseball season. It happens. The reality is that I do think that this guy has proven throughout his career and also this year that he is that type of guy who is probably going to be a gamer. Again, not part of the problem, part of the solution, but he has to be part of the solution. I mean, this is through all the stuff, whether it's the media, through all the stuff, whether it's running out balls, through all of it, the fact of the matter is, and I think this speaks to a lot of things that's going on right now, I don't care about any of it because either you have it or you don't. And unfortunately for the Red Sox, Wilson Contreras, the good Wilson Contreras, is such an enormous part of this equation. You cannot have it go the other way.
I have a question about a tweet your colleague, Chris Cotillo, had yesterday.
Was it about us golfing?
It was not.
Ice cream?
His tweet was about Chad Tracy. He says, the Red Sox might have had the latest report time I can remember on my time on the beat since 2018. He said, Chad Tracy's pregame media session was an hour and 35 minutes before first pitch. Has he been kind of lax in terms of when players show up? That sounds awfully late yesterday, him talking 95 minutes before first pitch. And do you think that's carrying over to why they look so out of sorts these last few nights on the field?
Yeah, so it's interesting because my instinct, I think, Mego, you said that, is, hey, if something's not going right, let's dig in and let's get the job done and let's work even harder, right? But if you go back, we can't be hypocrites about this because when they went on the run, starting with the first game against the Yankees, that was the first day they started having clubhouse or media access anyway at 4 o'clock, which was almost an hour and a half later than usual. And so you had no outside batting practice and media availability at 4 o'clock. Wait,
but hang on, wasn't that after flight issues flying back from Colorado?
Right,
this was in the middle of a series.
Hold on a second. So my point is that that's when it started, and that's what was the impetus for it. But since then, they haven't drawn away from this. And my point is this, is that you basically said, okay, this is an effective strategy to take some of this off the plate, that we're going to draw back, we're gonna manage the season this way, and even at any bumps in the road, if they lost two in a row to the Nationals, they kept on doing this. So what I'm saying is that when I saw that, I immediately thought, okay, this is their remedy because it's been the remedy over the last 2 months. Now, what they have to be wary of, and I agree, I think this is what you're saying, is that it doesn't always work for an entirety of a baseball season. Sometimes you have to have a team meeting. Sometimes you have to actually say, all right, guys, let's gather around. Let's have outside BP. Let's show up a little bit earlier because we got to get our crap right now. Sometimes you got to do that. They chose to keep going down the same road, or Chad Tracy did, that they did that had been so effective for the last previous 2 months. And obviously it didn't work last night.
What did you make of Sam Kennedy with the Greg Hill Show saying that they had to make a decision about Chad Tracy soon? Does that sound like a timeline laid out, in your opinion, about removing the interim tag? What was your read?
Yeah, that's kind of a bizarre statement, to be honest with you, because, you know, there's, and Adam, I heard you say this, and I kind of, this is what I've been saying all along, which is, well, you don't take the interim tag off until you know absolutely that it's not going to turn the other way, because you don't want to have to fire somebody again and do it all over again. So if they kept the interim tag on, I'm like, okay, I get it. That's fine. But to say that you're going to have to do something soon, no, actually you don't have to do something soon. I think a lot of people will want you to do something soon. A lot of people think that maybe this is actually a thing that would give you a little bit of a kick in the butt. Everyone, like, yay, Chad Tracy, no more interim guy. Okay, maybe that's the case. So you don't have to. And by the way, Jim Tracy, his dad, who won on the most epic run of interim managers ever in 2009 with Colorado and won manager of the year, he didn't get the interim tag taken off until November. So it's not like this hasn't happened. But to say that, hey, we have to figure this out soon, like, you kind of don't.
It seem like they do? Because he said that they do?
Yeah, well.
Like, he kind of put a timeline,
not
right?
Not the first time he stepped in it.
I mean, he kind of put a timeline out there by saying it's going to be soon.
Yeah, but at the same time, I go, he's like, oh, it's up to Brez, right? Yeah. You know, it's always up to Brez. It's always up to Brez. And so, as I said the other day, you know, all we know now with Tracy is that he has, you know, he's working under his AAA management contract, which goes through next year. And as I also said, I have no idea if they give him a pay bump or not. Like, I have no idea.
Well, I heard you give those figures earlier this week on Rich and Ken with Ted for like an average AAA manager. So I would hope they gave him a pay bump.
Yeah, I mean, I would hope so, too. And you know, that's coming from somebody who knows that world, and that maybe is an average $100,000. I don't know. Maybe, you know, I know that some teams paid a lot more than that. But I will say this. All I can say is that the usefulness of that report is that it tells you that you have this guy under contract for at least another year. So that's where we're at with that.
How do they balance Peyton Tolley's workload, where he's already, you know, certainly on pace and maybe even already there, I'd have to double check, for innings pitched in a season, versus this feeling like a real must-win, stop-the-losing-streak kind of game? How do they balance those two with Peyton Tolley down the stretch?
Uncomfortably. I think that, you know, we've got, now this is the second time where you've had a Peyton Tolley start where you went into it and said, you really, really need an ace, and no doubt about it, a Garrett Crochet-like sort of go shut the other team down for 7 or 8 innings and no questions asked. And that's what you shouldn't be asking of Peyton Tolley right now, because we don't know what it's going to look like in September and October. They can hook him up to all kinds of machines and chart all the stuff and have all the analytics, whatever it is. But you don't know. He's a big guy, but you don't know exactly what you're going to get. And the unfortunate thing is that you desperately need this guy. And that's one of the reasons, that's one of the criticisms I had at the trade deadline, which is I did think that they should have gotten some cover when it came to another starting pitching. Because you have two rookies, you don't know what's going to look like in September and certainly October. And then you have Sonny Gray, who's 36, and Ranger Suarez, who's been nicked up a bunch, and Patrick Sandoval, who's coming off an injury. So this is where you could really use some help now. And the other part about this, I'll come back to the Whitlock. Okay, well, you want to shorten this guy's outings? You want to shorten these guys' outings? Well, all of a sudden, your bullpen just got a whole lot thinner because that was supposed to be a strength, where you get to the 7th, 8th, 9th, game over. That's no longer the case.
Yeah, you just took the question out of my mouth. With Garrett Whitlock, how big of a blow is him going on this IL stint?
Well, it's a bigger one because our good friend, the 6'9", very white teeth, Tyron Guerrero, excellent teeth. The Red Sox have the best teeth in the American League.
Okay,
And Anthony Siegler, Masa Yoshida, yeah, great dental plan. So anyway, and he also throws 103. But the problem is
at least when Contreras could catch, that helps for Tyron Guerrero. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. 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 You need guys to catch the ball. Science. But it's that's the problem, is that Guerrero's been a great story, and ideally you just say, oh, slide in. But we saw what happened last night. We saw that this isn't necessarily going to be the obvious path. And that's why, you got a guy like Eric Miller. But all of a sudden, Eric Miller becomes a very, very real necessity. Having a good Guerrero becomes a very, very real necessity. So to answer your question, I think it's a huge hit because this is how this whole thing worked. We look at that run that they had, and how did it all work? And a big part of how it worked was, yeah, you got great starting pitching, but you also had the absolute best bullpen in baseball. And when you take out one of the best relievers, that can't be the case anymore.
Okay. He is Rob Bradford. You can check out his work on the Odyssey app, Baseball Isn't Boring podcast, at Bradfo on Twitter. He's brought to you every Thursday at 11:30 here on Jones and Keefe by McFarland Energy. Bradfo, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
McFarland to you, Bradfo.
McFarland to you.
Okay.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team. But not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. and Autodesk Company.
Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.